know exactly who I am.
I'm not saying your name.
You sure?
And I'll be glad to...
Say my name.
Maybe I should try listening.
That's right. Now, say my name.
It's Matt Cool!
You're goddamn right.
Oh yeah! Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, on the MLW Radio Network and partnered with our good friends over at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read internet news website on the planet. I'm Matt Coon, and thank you for joining us. I understand we might have some new subscribers. Please stick around. Not only that, all you old heads, spread the news, because we're on the rise, and appreciate all the people who listened to yesterday's show. I think I said everything I wanted to say about the situation involving that particular attempted journalist, and I know maybe some people want me to gloat about the feedback or the downloads, but it's not really my style. It's not cool. It's not fun. It's not funny. It's not a competition. It's not getting up on somebody or looking better than somebody. It's just doing my job here as a fan to my fellow fans who listen to Total Engagement. And just doing that and serving the internet wrestling community as a whole, that's reward enough. There's no time for self-celebration here on Total Engagement. Now, with that being said, it is This Week in Wrestling. Today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. Welcome, folks, to This Week in Wrestling. This week, NXT on USA. What happened? Kenny works the internet. What does that mean? A California law is passed about independent contractors. And how will that affect the WWE? Vince misses three shows in a row. And in goes The Fiend and out goes Braun. All this and more on This Week in Wrestling. That's right, it's This Week in Wrestling. We're going to be doing the top five stories of the week, as always, and it's going to be on Fridays now, every single week. Let's go ahead and get started. Story number five. In comes The Fiend, and out goes Braun Strowman. A couple things to this story. So, as we saw on Clash of the Champions, Seth Rollins beat Braun Strowman after approximately 45 curb stomps and three pedigrees. He got him down. Braun rolled out, never to be seen again, and The Fiend makes his appearance and eventually makes Seth Rollins cry. There's a couple things to this that are really interesting. Number one, all kinds of stories this week, all kinds of conjectures this week about people being buried. Cedric Alexander, who wasn't on Raw ever and now is facing AJ Styles every week, supposedly being buried. Other people, Ricochet, buried. Mike Kanellis, buried. Well, Braun Strowman is being buried in a whole different way. He is literally being presented to us as the 2019 version of The Big Show, where he gets built up, broken down, built up, broken down, built up, broken down. That is a WWE way, but with Braun, again, built up to this high position and beaten and then forgotten about. He lost two belts in the same night, and again, he is shown as not being able to win the championship. And not only that, not being a worthy competitor of a rematch. Everybody else on the show got rematches, but not Braun Strowman. The other thing about this that's interesting is The Fiend coming in and getting such a high slot so early. I do agree with it, because what the hell else are you going to do? So that's not an issue at all. You want to draw the most money. You want to get the most eyeballs on. The Fiend is the guy right now. But a problem remains in that people are going to cheer The Fiend and boo Seth Rollins. Now, I know a lot of people are going, it's 2019, there's nothing we can do about it. Sure there is. You present The Fiend differently, you present Seth Rollins differently, you be creative about it, and you can turn this into a situation where Seth Rollins is the most over babyface in the company, and The Fiend is the most over heel in the company. Right now, Seth Rollins is one of the most over people in the company, and The Fiend is the most over babyface in the company. Not exactly what you're looking for. What to look for the future? What are they going to do with Braun? He did get to destroy both tag team champs the next night in one shot and a lot of other people, but that did more to damage the tag team brand than it did to build up Braun, since we've seen him do those things so many times before, and would have been more effective had they built the tag teams up a little bit before that. Also, let's keep our eyes on, is the crowd going to turn on Seth? I think he's been shown to be like super weak as a face recently with his just awful, awful idea of a promo, the laid back Brock Lesnar promo, you know, when he's like, I will beat Brock Lesnar. I will do it for you, my fans, to the sound of nothing from the audience. And then now basically crying. I know that's not the intent. That's what it came across as. And what to make of The Fiend? Are they going to try to get him over as a heel at all? Or is this just a small step on his way to being a gigantic babyface? We'll see. The number four story of the week. California this week passed a law. Now, by passing it, it means like it cleared legislature, governor signed into law. And this was initially pretty much all about Uber and Lyft drivers. You know, California is a very progressive state as far as politics goes, and they're protecting the workers. In other states, of course, there's not as many protections, and there's not that much popularity in unions or workers' rights and that kind of thing. But California went ahead and passed this very progressive law about independent contractors. As we all know, WWE employees and a lot of wrestlers are independent contractors. So here's what the law says. It says that if you're going to be considered an independent contractor instead of an employee, then it needs to pass this ABC standard. And A is that the independent contractor is free from the control and direction of the company in its performance of the work. That is not what it would be in WWE. B, that the work they do is outside the usual course of the company's business. That is also not at all how the classification works in WWE. And then C, the worker maintains independent business in the same field outside of that company. Wow. By all three standards, WWE employees would not qualify as independent contractors in the state of California. And one would think on the surface, when they work in California for the WWE, then they would have to fall under that statute. Is that the case? How does this really affect WWE workers? Well, I'm going to break it down for you as much as I can with someone of very limited education and intelligence and knowledge on this subject could. The WWE has written in their contracts that any kind of grievance, any kind of litigation that takes course between the employer, they're not employers, don't be ridiculous, between the company, WWE, and their independent contractors is going to take place in the state of Connecticut. Now, not only does Connecticut not have the same views on labor, but they've also been very WWE friendly in the past, and WWE makes every effort to stick to this particular part of their contract during litigation, for instance, the Owen Hart lawsuit. So long story short with that, if a WWE worker wanted to bring cause against WWE and say, I'm actually an employee, I did some shows at the Staples Center, it might be, probably would be, the case that it would have to be tried in Connecticut. In that state, they qualify as an independent contractor. There probably is some wiggle room here, and it probably would take a long legal fight, but it would take someone, an active member of the roster, to really hit this hard. And in the past, there have been a couple WWE wrestlers that have tried to challenge their classification as independent contractors past their point of working there, and it did not work. But it might still affect the WWE in a couple ways. There are going to be wrestling companies in California, and any wrestling company, indie or otherwise, that employs wrestlers is going to be subject to this ABC statute, and they're going to be employees. And then two, it could start a domino effect. We've seen this in a lot of different things over the course of the last couple decades, whether it be gay marriage or whether it be legalization of marijuana, things that at first seemed very unlikely start a domino effect. And if this is something that other Lyft drivers, never other Uber drivers, get strong representation in different states, you never know what could happen and eventually hit Connecticut. This is a developing story, but it's probably going to develop over the next few years. Sorry for the boring legal talk. number three story this week, NXT debuts on USA. And if there's good and bad news for this, for the WWE, of course, the good news is they had pretty decent ratings. The ratings came in over a million. Some people thought it'd be lower. Some people thought it could be higher. But if you consider what their lead-in was and you consider what the numbers were last time and you also consider what USA normally gets, or the fact that Suits did a smaller audience on one of its last two episodes ever with an entirely different audience at 9 p.m., it's pretty good news, and also it was a pretty decent show. The bad news is, well, one, there was this weak, weird transition where you had to go from the USA to WWE Network, and I think I had it reversed when I talked about it before, but I warned about this. I warned about the fact that it's not a seamless transition a lot of times, and sometimes it's difficult when they say there's a special after Raw or something, you get on the network after that. And let me tell you, it was. I was logged out. A lot of people were logged out. A lot of people couldn't get on. I couldn't get on at all. And that kind of didn't bode well for the NXT brand as far as doing this great, big, huge two-hour show. That being said, it was a good show. But there were some things that were little warning signs for WWE. It does look small time. It doesn't look like an energetic indie. It looks like a performance center. And when you compare that production to what the production of AEW will certainly be when they go to TV, it's going to look less than. Unless they can keep those fans hyped for 2 hours, I think just visually, when you flip from channel to channel, there's going to be a difference, a visual difference, especially to people that don't watch wrestling all the time. And with the audience, I don't know if they can keep up that famed, you know, Full Sail energy every single week for 2 hours. And I don't know if NXT loses a lot of what made it special by going to 2 hours. We're going to find out, but I would give the debut probably a B. Not a C, not an A+, but a B. I think a strong B, because the product was good. The women were fantastic. And the Brawl at the End, which I finally got to watch today, was good. It's just too bad a lot of people didn't see it when it happened. Story number two of the week. Kenny works the internet. Wow, wow, wow. So today, Kenny Omega did an interview with Sportskeeda. I don't know when he did it, but it came out today, in which, man, he really, really let the NXT superstars kind of have it a little bit. Here's a quote from Kenny Omega. Quote, "You can call it a war if you want. It's like, to me, we're in a completely different kind of business. I mean, what they're doing is different from what we're doing. It's weird because it's hard to say you're going to go to war with people that I call my friends." Kenny Omega goes on to say, "And yet we are going to war. And yet when I sit back and look at the grand picture, I'm going to war with these dudes. That if we were on the same show together, the same promotion, let's pretend there are no borders. Let's pretend there are no promotions. Let's pretend there's just one big promotion. If these guys were on the same show as me, they'd be in the dark match. They'd be in the opening match of my main event match." Wow. Well, people really reacted to that, including Donovan Dijakovic, including Matt Riddle, and the entire internet. What said, what a bad look. How could he say that? They brought up examples of Kushida actually beat Kenny Omega before in, I think, the main event of a New Japan match. And, you know, people really said, hey, how could he say this? Hey, guys, you're getting worked. Kenny is doing a new character on Being the Elite that's turning heel. He's turning heel. He had a couple losses. He's turning heel. And it's an extreme version of what we saw. I think if he did a real interview in that character, it would come across as corny. So he just did a heel promo. And the way you know that is that any interview you've ever seen, Kenny Omega is so gracious and he's so nice. And I don't know if he's like that in real life, but that's how he always is in interviews. And this was very purposeful. And it was purposeful, and it worked in a couple ways. Number one, it got Kenny Omega's heel character over. Number two, it got people talking about AEW. And then three, he actually was able to frame the argument he was trying to frame, which is, we are not competing against NXT. We are competing against WWE. He didn't say that, but he said it. He said, this isn't the war. That's the war. And he was able to say it and at the same time work the internet and at the same time get a lot of coverage for AEW and you get the shots fired stuff, but it's completely a work. As Tony Schiavone always says, it's a work. Everything's a work. So don't y'all all get carried away with this, like, fuck Kenny. Here's the funniest one is people talk about Seth Rollins, and Kenny says it, it's cool. When Seth Rollins said it, it's not cool. Dude, Seth Rollins has admitted he really felt like that. He put out real apologies. That was the real Seth Rollins saying that stuff, that he thought he was the best in the world, and Will Ospreay doesn't make as much money as him. He spoke out of school, he spoke out of turn, and we all do. We all make those kind of mistakes, and he apologized for it. Kenny Omega's playing a character. So the best way to react to this is, guys, just sit back, relax, and let this shit happen. You don't have to go, fuck Kenny, or Kenny's right, NXT is bullshit. Guys, don't play that game. That game is easy to lose in any kind of argument. Let's play a different game. Let's play the let's watch wrestling, and let's let the workers work, and realize Kenny Omega is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, and we're going to see a fun show with him, and we're going to see a fun show with NXT. And the number one story of the week, Vince McMahon misses three live WWE events in a row. Vince McMahon was not at Raw. Vince McMahon was not at SmackDown, and he also was not at NXT. These were three very important television shows. Certainly the first NXT show is important. Certainly the first Raw is important after a pay-per-view, and SmackDown's important right now. So there's some indicators that we're seeing that maybe the whole hiring Eric Bischoff and hiring Paul Heyman to keep him out of the weeds is legit, because this is definitely an outlier. I don't know when the last time Vince missed this much TV in a row. He is notorious for being involved in every single detail. He's notorious for rewriting stuff. I'm guessing it's probably connected to the writing reshuffle that they had that we talked about last week on This Week in Wrestling, where a lot of writers were moved around. One writer was let go. And I think Vince feels he has the team in place where he needs to stand back and walk away a little bit. Can it be permanent? It's probably not permanent. Is it related to the XFL? Maybe. He said that he was busy with promotional and marketing meetings, maybe, with Fox. But it is a story. Is this the first week that Vince McMahon steps back from the weeds, as he puts it, and let other people do the job? I think this is a huge story this week. I don't think it's being talked about enough, but I'll tell you what is being talked about enough. It's Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. In case we have some new listeners today, which I think we probably do, we do shows every single day. We don't take up a ton of your time. Sometimes we have interviews. Sometimes we have recaps. We always have takes. We don't often do shows on reporters, more so lately than we probably should be, less so than we will be doing in the future. But tomorrow, Saturday, is a very cool show. It's our first edition of Total Engagement Presents Crime in Wrestling, the Dino Bravo story, the story of Dino Bravo's death. And it's with me and JP Zarka over there at ProWrestlingStories.com. I think it's the first of its kind. If you take away, of course, you know, the Crime in Wrestling podcast I totally ripped off, it is a very cool, again, quick show, but it's probably a can't miss. So do me a favor, tune in tomorrow. If you tune in today, tell all your friends, please subscribe on iTunes. Please give us a 5-star review. Please let everybody know that you have found a new favorite podcast. I'm just a fan. Me, Matt Kuhn, and it's called Total Engagement.